Welcome to the Good Hard Story Podcast, where we believe that the good story and the hard story can be the exact same story. I'm Catherine Wolf, and I'm a stroke survivor, a speaker, an author, and co-founder of Hope Heals. Tune in here every week for conversations about wholeheartedly living in a good hard story. Join me in this joyful rebellion to the darkness where we discover the treasures hidden in our hurting. Hi, everyone. Today on the Good Hard Story Podcast, I just wanted to unpack something that people ask me all the time, which is, how do you begin to accept your story? How do you begin to embrace and move beyond the total shock and disbelief that is your reality? I know I have referred to some and will be referring to much more. My new book, written with Alex Wolf, Treasures in the Dark, that comes out this April. Please pre-order. Link in show notes. But entry number one actually talks about the disbelief I felt after my stroke and subsequent aneurysm surgery. And throughout every fresh hardship, there is this sense of, I can't believe this. I just cannot believe this. And how do you move beyond just not believing that this happened to accepting that this happened? How do you move through it? You aren't going to move on. There's no such thing. That's so silly. You never move on after suffering, but you can, in fact, move forward. So how do we move forward? How do we accept our story and live well within the constraints of our story? So without further ado, here are a few ideas. Number one, you move through the shock and disbelief by truly feeling and marinating on the loss and then taking the proper time to grieve. Grief is truly the opposite of avoidance. Grief is facing it. Grief is facing it head on. It's creating intentional space to access our emotions surrounding loss. It is unpleasant in our world, as you may know, as Americans in 2024, and as a good Southern girl, now woman, I'm not used to facing head on the hard reality of loss and pain. I want to avoid at all costs, but the reality is deep avoidance is right where anxiety kicks in. That is where you get crazy, terrible anxiety that makes everything worse when you're living a hard story. And what must be done is embracing, is taking it close, looking at the reality of the situation, all the grief. Now, you won't stay there. You won't stay at that place of disbelief and shock, but you must start there. That's in reflection number one. You will not stay there, but you must start there. If there is to be healing to come after the tragedy. Number two, talk about it. Completely natural to not want to talk about it and thus make it real. So much healing has come to me, though, through telling my story to empathetic listeners all over the country for many years. I mean it, y'all. I think I have received so much healing by telling my story to anybody that'll listen. I would say in over 10 years of full-time ministry, and even before full-time, I mean, pretty shortly after my stroke, I started sharing my story. And there's been a lot of healing. You know, my dear friend, Dr. Kurt Thompson, the amazing psychiatrist talks about the value of telling your story to an empathetic listener and how that actually changes the neural pathways in your brain, providing healing. So talking about the trauma that you've experienced changes how you feel about the trauma that you've experienced. It's a deep, beautiful truth that when we are sharing our story, we are healing our brains. And what we are doing is we are being cathartic. We are like, I mean, I don't know how many of you have experienced firsthand the value of therapy, but whoa, just talking, just being forced to face it and talk about it and look somebody in the eye and share what's on your heart is powerful. It changes how you feel about your circumstances. I believe it truly can help you accept your story. Number three, celebrate the process and not the outcome. I'm a big believer in this. If I was waiting to celebrate life for when everything was back to quote unquote normal, I might just be waiting forever till heaven. The reality is I'm not. I'm celebrating right now, every little milestone, every little moment. Nothing is not worth celebrating in a hard story. I think part of it is waking up to, this is a hard story, and thus, what does it equal? It equals celebration. The reality is that we all are taught to celebrate at the end of anything and everything in our lives. We celebrate when the baby's born. We celebrate when the graduation happens. We celebrate the job promotion. And there's nothing wrong with celebrating those milestones, but there's nothing wrong with celebrating in the midst. Celebrating the ordinary day, celebrating what maybe didn't happen. You know, I have been struck for many years by a dear friend whose father got a cancer diagnosis and came home, and their family's response was to have a party, was to invite their friends over, to quote unquote celebrate. Celebrate isn't exactly the right word, but to bear it together with joy and to say, you know, I have a cancer diagnosis, but that does not get the final word here. And we're going to celebrate God's presence in the midst of it, his power. We're going to celebrate in the midst of the storm. And that's so otherworldly and so beautiful. And I want to apply it to my life every day. And I do think that that truly changes how you feel about your story. Number four, recognize you are on an assignment in this life. You have been assigned your story and called to it for a specific purpose. Guys, this has tremendously changed my understanding of everything post-stroke. I'm called to this. I'm living on assignment, called to this story. For some reason that I do not fully understand, this is it. This is what God has for my life. So I'm going to live it really well. Ephesians 4:1 says that we are called to live a life worthy of the calling that we've received. I get to say it's my calling and I'm going to live it really well. And that can be incredibly painful right in the moment of deep grief and loss. But in time, I do think that is part of healing, moving forward, accepting what's happened, is knowing that it's part of an assignment on earth. Number five, cultivate habitual gratitude for what remains in your story. This has become such a rhythm for me, and I cannot stress this one enough. Cultivate habitual gratitude. I have a lot of rhythms in my life currently that keep me very, very grateful. As I've talked about on here, no doubt every morning on the way to school, I have an app on my phone and I make the boys and Jay and I each go around and say something we're grateful for. And at night when I go to bed, after lights out, head on the pillow in my head, I simply say some things I'm grateful for to God. Just talk about what's awesome in my life, what I love. And I think, and there's many others that are truly constantly shifting the narrative, changing my perspective, keeping me at a place of just gratitude for what is in the story. It's really hard to look outside when you're so busy enjoying what's here. You know, it's a beautiful truth. The grass may be greener over there, but it's greener because they're watering it. They're tending it. Your grass is brown and dying because all you're doing is looking over there. Get busy making your grass beautiful. It's a powerful truth. I love the thought that every one of us have the opportunity to rise up. We have capacity for courage, people. Don't think that we don't. Because of Jesus in our stories, we do have capacity for hard things, things we didn't think we could do. You know, I guarantee you, if you would have asked 10-year-old Catherine Arnold if she would have a massive stroke, nearly die, become severely disabled afterwards, live in a fully disabled body, never drive again, never walk normally, blah, 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 I probably would have said, nope, not up for it. Can't do it. Definitely don't think I could live that way. And yet here I am. And I think that's true for all of us. We find ourselves in very different places than we thought we would be, but maybe there's a way we can live really well right there. I think so much of all of our stories is about reconciling those expectations of, well, I thought it was going to be this way, but it's not. And I want it to be that way. But to recognize, and this is a huge key, that we can, in fact, expect more of God and less of this world. And when we do that, when we are recognizing God can do abundantly more than we can ask, think, imagine, and at the same time, we live in a very broken, fallen world, horrible things are happening. John 16:33 is true, that in this world, we will have trouble. We know it's coming. So we can flip our expectations and recognize that God can do anything and do anything through me on earth right now. And yet this is earth. It's a fallen, messed up place where horrible things do happen. When we can live with that tension, I think it can totally change how we feel about our stories. Because ultimately, that is what we want to do, isn't it? We want to change how we feel about the story because we feel so sad, understandably. We feel so crushed by our stories, our sad, hard stories. And there is a place for that, a place for the grief of the loss. And yet, there is an opportunity in much time, many times, to think differently about the story, which brings me to the bonus of this episode. So number 6, or the bonus, which is you get to make the decision to love it. Guys, it is so powerful. Nobody else gets to decide how you feel about your story. You get to make the decision to love it. When we were moving from Los Angeles to Atlanta, I decided I'm going to love Atlanta. I have loved Los Angeles. We have amazing friends, amazing community, wonderful, all the things, church, school, life. It was awesome. We lived in Culver City, which is in the heart of Los Angeles. It's this food mecca, which I love. It's tons going on. And it was amazing. It was like people call where we lived Disney World for adults. And it kind of was. And yet I went ahead and decided, no matter what Atlanta is like, I am going to absolutely love it there. And fast forward, it's not hard to do. Atlanta is absolutely amazing, and I really do love it here. However, I decided the day we moved here to love it. I decided it's going to be awesome. Atlanta is where it is. It is the place you want to be. And I think it did something to me. It made me approach this city with such a joy. Like, this is my new home and I love it here. And I think that really does something to you. That when you go ahead and make the decision to love it, and of course, I'm big picture talking about your life. When you make the decision, you know what? I'm going to love my life. It may not be perfect, but that doesn't matter. I'm going to love exactly where I am and the specifics of my story. You know, I love the truth of Psalm 16:6 that the boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places. That somehow this here, this little thing, this is awesome. This is my spot and I love this spot. And there's so many good things here. There's hard things here. The reality within these boundary lines, there's a wheelchair and there's a passenger that does not drive your car and there's a messed up, funny sounding voice and there's a paralyzed face and I could go on and on and on. There's a lot in this little set of boundary lines that would not be considered ideal by the world. However, also in these boundary lines, my amazing children, my incredible husband, and true army of devoted friends and family and just so much beauty. My life, my work, my everything, Hope Heals. It's all in these boundary lines. So I can look objectively and love this stuff and love it really well. And I've heard it said before that if you hug something long enough, you end up loving it. Hug it till you love it. It's kind of a thing. I actually am a big subscriber of that. Hug something long enough and you end up loving it. I don't know how many of you have ever read the Tim Keller Meaning of Marriage book. It's been super informative to my life. And he talks in that book about that very thing, like, look at something long enough, gaze upon it lovingly, and the love comes. And yes, of course, he's talking about a spouse, but it's relevant to all of our stories in our lives. Gaze upon it with loving eyes and love what is in the story. So that's my bonus to you, friends. I hope this was helpful in accepting your story. I know it's kind of a quick little few takeaways, but maybe that's what we all need. Just a little encouragement to keep going, go further in, go harder into the beautiful thing that God is doing. The reality is that how it feels in the first few moments or days or weeks or months or years, and it can be years. It took me 5 years to come out of a cycle of feeling underwater after the stroke, a series of surgeries and complications and more surgeries and a broken leg and an aneurysm removal and just dealing with life in this new body that doesn't work and just 5 years really of total hell, I'll be honest. And that wasn't too long, you know. Somebody else may take 2 years, somebody may take 10 years. The time is completely irrelevant. But I will say, after those first 5 years, something did shift. And I was ready to re-engage the world. And that is my prayer for you, sweet friend. In your story, whatever it looks like, whether you are dealing with the loss of a husband who left, or the loss of a baby born with a rare genetic condition, or if you are facing not a dollar in the bank, whatever your journey today, may you live well right where you are. May you allow yourself to feel disbelief and shock that this is your story. And may you grieve that. And then when the time is right, may you emerge from the rubble and live into who God is calling you to be right where you are. And may you thrive there. May you end up looking at the broken pieces of your life and recognize, oh, wait, this is some really good pieces making one really amazing person. And that is my prayer for you and for me. God bless you in this journey, sweet friend. Thank you for joining us on the Good Heart Story Podcast. To learn more about what we are doing, follow us on Instagram at Hope Heals. Check out all things Hope Heals at hopeheals.com. Don't forget to subscribe to this wherever you get podcasts, and please feel free to share this episode with somebody who needs to hear it. Good Heart Story Podcast is a production of Good Heart Story, LLC. It is produced by Leah Case and Mary Austin Hall. And I am your fearless and fabulous host, Catherine Wolf. Come back and join us every week where we believe that the good story and the hard story can be the very same story. We are with you and for you, friends.